Sunday. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Hello.
Hello. You know, I was out, and so I kind of, just for our listeners, we're producing our own show now, sort of. We still have, like, our student Noah that helps us out, but, like, we're kind of behind the computer and, like, all the stuff. And so literally right before we tried to record, I was like, all right, I got this. It's been a while, but I totally forgot to hit record. So this is take two on our show. So, yeah, I'm good.
Well, okay. So, you know, you were out of town.
Yes.
You know, obviously we kind of name dropped that you were going to Disney, going to, you know, food and wine type festival stuff at Epcot. So you got to do a recap.
The deets. Yeah. It was really great. I'm not going to lie. I usually go every year, but last year we didn't go because of COVID.
Sure.
This year it kicked my butt. I was so tired from walking and just like thinking about like, you know, where to go to this thing, where to go to that thing. And it's different right now with Disney because for those of you that have gone before, you would get the fast pass. You can't do fast passes right now because of COVID. They're cutting down on the capacity in the park. So you have to reserve your spot in the park, which in a way is kind of good because the longest I ever waited for a ride was like 50 minutes. For those of you that know about Disney, 50 is like nothing.
Right.
So it was actually that part was really cool, but a year off and I don't teach cardio classes anymore. I just teach yoga. I was worn out, but it was a good time.
Now, was this your boyfriend's first time going? What were his impressions? What was that like?
It was his first time, which is funny. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the radio. So there you go, fans.
Oh, apologies.
Oh, hey. Oh man, I'm just kidding. It's fine. No, it was his first time and it was actually, at first I was worried that he wasn't going to like it because of the crowds and he's really worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's all in now. He even has a new baseball cap that's Mickey on it because he's like, I am all in with this.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, if you're going to like be sporting a Mickey cap, that's a big deal. So he really liked it. And it's the thing, like if you've never been to Disney before, I mean, it's so different than anything else because they always focus on your experience and customer mm-hmm. service. And so everything there is just, you know, the best it can possibly be. If there's a problem, I mean, even the staff workers, you know, having to do, everything's mobile now. It's like mm-hmm. mobile food orders. It's, you have to wear your mask when you go inside. It's a lot of frustrating things for people, but the staff was great because they stayed happy. They were helpful and it was a great experience. So, I'm kind of glad to be back to normal, just because I'm kind of tired.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it was a really nice escape considering I haven't really traveled in a while. So, but what went on while I wasn't here? I know we didn't really record a show. We had a rerun, but
I know. Well, okay. So first, I do have to mention, and Whitney, you probably noticed I'm wearing a different mask
you
today.
Are. It's
so
very cool.
I had to wear one, like, you know, we had that guest Ben Spellman who, you know, was wearing it, and it was the same mask that Coach Saban wears. And I was listening to our show the other day, and I realized how muffled I sounded.
See, now I'm wondering if I am too. Our listeners can let us know.
You sounded very clear.
Really?
Because I was going to give you a heads up, but no, you sounded very clear. So I got paranoid about it, and I was like, what is going to happen? So I ordered this. You know, it's a little bit more than I would have normally spent on a mask, but but no, I like it for sure.
I think it's cool. It'd be cool if the university would give us all those masks. I'm just going to put that out on the airways. What's it called again?
I have no idea. Maybe because I'm so trained to know, like, that we can't, like...
That's right, we can't.
...specifically promote... Like, we can say, like... But I'm just...
Right.
I'm obviously a bad user of this mask because I'm like, oh, I can't even name drop what it is.
Yeah, so, but you all know which mask
it
is.
So just Google mask that Coach Saban wears.
Yeah,
And it'll get you to the website for
sure. I think it looks pretty cool. My favorite, actually, are the disposable mask.
Yes.
I guess because when I'm teaching, I can easily, like, take it off, get rid of it, and it's, like, my germs. I can throw them away. But yeah. All right.
Yes.
Well, it's time to, I guess, take a break.
I guess so. I do have I will have a random off-topic question to ask you after the break. So y'all sit on the edge of your seats, go grab something to drink, wash your hands, all the things. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And Whitney, I know I said I was going to ask you a random question, but honestly, I think I'm going to leave it for our last 5-minute segment.
What?
Yeah, I might do that.
Wow.
It had to do with, like, TV shows and Korean stuff and Netflix. Okay. And we could just go down a really deep rabbit hole. So yeah. We'll just wait. Especially, too, because I absolutely adore our guest, who is a recurring guest. And you know, we got to prioritize our time with her. So without further ado, we have Ms. Anika Morgan, who is a clinical instructor and exercise science advisor in the College of Education in the Department of Kinesiology. So hello.
Hello. And can I just say I adore you both as well. And I'm so happy to be back as a guest on the show. Thank you for having me.
I was trying to think, how many times have you been on the show?
Oh my.
It's been a lot.
Like maybe five?
Yeah, I think it's been at least five.
At least.
I think when we first started doing it, you were one of our first guests that we brought on. And we've been doing it for 6 or 7 years, right?
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations, guys.
We were talking about that last time. Terry came in and he was like, y'all know y'all have been, it's your anniversary. And I was like, me and Sheena ain't married, you know? And then he was like, no, like your show's anniversary. And I was like, I had no clue. But yeah, you've been on a lot with us. You're a dear friend, and we always come to you for our wellness questions, and specifically when we have topics, like for instance, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we always talk about it, but we're going to get into that in a little bit. But just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself for those that are just now tuning in.
Yeah, well, I am a graduate of the University of Alabama two times over. Got my undergrad and my master's degree. My master's is in health promotion, health education, and I had an emphasis in women's health. I have two daughters, and I teach and I advise for the College of Education, the Department of Kinesiology, and I also work for St. Vincent's, Extension St. Vincent's Health System in Birmingham as a health educator.
Well, so I'm sitting here because, you know, of course, as the very diligent journalist that I consider Whitney and I to be, I do have a very pressing question for you, Nika. I need you to talk about your Tebow encounter that happened last week.
Yeah.
So, listeners.
Wait, last week? What? I've been in
Disney World. I had a pseudo encounter and wanted to tell him about a previous encounter that I had with him when he was a recruit, but those conversations did not happen. So I'm really hoping I can live vicariously through you in terms of you having had meaningful conversation with him.
Well, I will say so I work in what was formerly known as Moore Hall. It's now renamed to Wade Hall. Mm-hmm. And SEC Nation sets up on our front lawn, and they use our conference room and a couple of our classrooms. Starting on Wednesday of the week that they're here. So they're in and out. And, of course, as you know, Laura Rutledge and Paul Feinbaum and Tim Tebow are part of that crew. 3 years ago, I actually saw Tim outside, and Ava, my daughter, was 2, and Ella was 4, almost 5. And I walked up to him, and I said, can we have a picture with you? And he just picked Ava up, put him on her side. Just so sweet, so kind.
Yes.
So this Friday, I come back from teaching class, and I see all the buzz and the excitement outside. So I was going to take my phone and just go take a picture and send it to my family and say, look what's going on our front lawn. And I rounded the corner, and I whammed into another person. And I'm looking at my phone because I'm trying to get my camera ready. And I instinctively reach out, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And when I look up, it's Tim Tebow. And he goes, it's no worries. And I was like,
That is so random.
You got
Tim
into that nice,
I know,
beefy body.
Darn.
So I wish I'd had my kids with me because I could have totally used them as an excuse as, hey, we had a picture with you 3 years ago. Can we get another one? But I was a little too starstruck just to ask for it on my own.
Wow.
I get that. I appreciate you sharing that. So to know that you had a physical moment with him. You know,
he is very tall and very broad and very buff.
Uh-huh. So that's so random to me that he was just walking around and you like ran into him.
They were coming into our conference room that was just right there beside the departmental office, and they were doing hair and makeup, and they had food in there, and they were just hanging out.
Wow. That's so cool.
Well, I don't have any more questions for that.
Let's end the show. I'm just kidding. That is so cool. I feel like you always have encounters with people like that, though, because you have a lot of different stories. Like, I feel like something else happened where you met somebody. Well, our friend John, remember, one of his friends danced with Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
was one
of the Fabulous Five.
Yeah, and so, like, hearing these stories, and you went and, like, had dinner with him, and, like, I'm like, I never meet anybody cool. Like, I'm staying in my bubble and I'm kind of introverted a little bit. But yeah, you've had a lot of cool things. But anyway, so moving back onto our topic and everything, but instead of Tim Tebow, but I will say, you know, Sheena and I have known Nika forever, and we kind of all met, just for those of you listening, I think you guys met, was it grad school?
Yes.
And then Sheena, I met you, I guess, through the rec center because you were coming to classes. You came to our body blast class that we had at 6 a.m., which I will have to say, this week I had to, or last week actually, I had to evaluate a yoga instructor at 6 a.m. I don't know how.
How did we do it?
I have no idea, because I even took the yoga class, and it wasn't even like an intense yoga class, and I was dying. And I was like, I don't understand how I jump roped for 7 minutes straight. As a warm-up. Like, that was crazy. But anyway, I guess you just get old. And that's just what happens. But we do know each other really well, and we want this conversation to just be super laid back. So I'm kind of curious, you know, with advising students, I mean, I get to hear it all the time, but I know that, like, there comes, like rewarding moments from it. And there's also, like, I mean, I think you were saying before you came on, or even last week or something, that a student was like going to ask you about life advice and stuff like that. But like, what's it like advising students, being in that world?
It's different every day. Mm-hmm. It's rewarding, yes, but then it can also be kind of emotionally challenging too, because I think people think that advisors simply just say, hey, here are the classes you need for next semester. Mm-hmm. But it goes deeper than that, because those classes are going to lead to an eventual career. Mm-hmm. And you got to know what your calling is, and you have to know what your passion is to be able to choose that career. And so you're in school for 4 or 5 years, and you're paying a lot of money, and everything is kind of concentrated towards this goal. And we're asking young adults to choose the next 40 working years of their life. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. So some of those questions are, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what my passion is. And being the person that I am, I absorb their stress as my own. And so I'm working on that, but I want to help. And so that is what is very rewarding, is having those conversations where it should be just a 10-minute advising session, but it turns into an hour because we're exploring different things. But they leave and they feel better, and I feel better that they feel better. And at the end of the day, then I've done my job.
And I think, you know, I was going to say this question till the end, but then we got to talk about Korean K-dramas, so we don't have time for that.
Yes.
But I was going to ask, you know, you mentioned that their stress, like, it'll kind of come off on you. And so we always ask our guests about self-care.
Yes.
And, like, how they do that. So we're going to kind of just jump into that. We've got a little bit of time before our break. But, like, when you do absorb all that stress, like, what are some ways that you can practice self-care?
Yes. So I do care deeply about my students, because I remember I had a great advisor when I was in undergrad and grad school. And I just remember they listened to me. And I want to turn around and give that back. But I think, you know, I've talked to my friends who are actually like Sheena, like you. You're a dietitian. You counsel students who may have eating issues. And, you know, Whitney, with you being a trainer, people who may have issues like over-exercising or something like that. So it's in our heart to be really connected to that. And when I leave that meeting, I kind of feel depleted and I need to replenish. The best thing I know to do is, the campus is so beautiful. I literally grab my headphones and my phone, and I go out and I walk and get some sunshine and some fresh air. And maybe sometimes I walk myself to Starbucks.
Sure.
Get caffeine. Some caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like if I can just get out and put one foot in front of the other, I feel like I am moving and I'm accomplishing something. And I feel like I'm back in control. And that control just kind of, in the energy and the fresh air and the sunshine, rejuvenates me to go back, sit down at my desk refreshed, and be ready for the next person.
I love that, you know, and I think just, you know, getting in just that movement component, obvious blood circulation, and just that atmosphere of being outside in general. So I feel like that's a good note for us to take a break. So y'all, you got a couple of seconds to go make a lap around your house and come back and join us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 at Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney and Nika today, who is one of our stand-ins. I feel like Nika and Charles are, like, Nika's our wellness person and Charles is our fitness person, and he should be on the show in the coming weeks, I think.
I think so, yes.
I need to check my calendar. But yeah, we always love to have our regulars on because, selfishly, the conversation flows a lot better. Mm-hmm. I love our other guests. I love everybody. But it's something about having your friends on when you can just talk and just, you know, shoot the breeze, I guess.
I agree.
Well, we do need to get into our topic, and we mentioned earlier that it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we talk about this every month, not because we're trying to bore you with facts, but we just want you to listen to the advice and information that we have because you may be affected by it, and it's good to be aware of yourself and your bodies, and you know that's why we're on the air. So let's talk about it. Breast cancer. Let's talk about boobs.
Yes. Well, you said affected by it. You know, one of the statistics are about 1 in every 8 U.S. women will be affected personally by having breast cancer in her lifetime.
That's a big deal.
That's crazy. And, you know, Nika, I know you usually have so many different facts associated with it. You know, of course, for me, as a person of color, I'm actually kind of curious, is there a breakdown in terms of prevalence or risk based on ethnicity?
Yes, actually, I'm glad you asked that question because there is, you know, being a woman, being older than 55, those are some of the things we can't change, as well as our race and ethnicity. I will say that white women have higher incident rates of having breast cancer than other races, especially Black, Hispanic, and Asian women. However, when Black women develop it, they develop it at a younger age, and it's much more aggressive.
Ooh, wow,
which is very sad and scary.
And that's so good to know, because I think, you know, we definitely consider ourselves to be a very prevention-based show. And so to know what those risk factors look like is really helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we do talk about prevention a lot because that's what we do. And I think prevention is also listening and getting resources and thinking about things. So, I mean, even though the statistics are scary and it kind of sucks, if you're listening to it for the first time and you're like, well, I fall into that category, I should be aware of this, now's your time to kind of start taking ownership. So I'm curious, you know, signs and symptoms. I mean, we go to the doctor, or some of us may not go to the doctor. I mean, let's start there. If you're a female, what age should you start going to the female doctor? I mean, is it high school or is it? I don't think I started really going until I was in college.
Well, for OBGYNs, you want to go if you're ever having any kind of problems with your monthly cycle, or if you have a family history, a first-degree relative, a mom, a sister, a grandmother who has had ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, breast cancer, and just talk to your physician, and they can do, you know, their job and say, you're high risk, you're low risk, you're medium risk, what have you, and come back and see me in 2 years or next year or what have you. But when you become sexually active, you do need to start going to the OBGYN, and if you ever have, like I said, any issues. But at least I would say no later than 21, because females have so many reproductive organs that can go awry. We have the fallopian tubes, ovaries, uterus, cervix, vagina, breasts, I mean, just name it. And we need to keep on top of it. It's prevention. It's just prevention.
Our body really is a complex system.
It is very complex.
We kind of make some life. Have some life in our system.
It's pretty cool. It can be stressful once a month, you know, but it's definitely a cool thing to think about. And I'm curious, you know, signs and symptoms, like, you don't know. I mean, if you don't know of your family history and you're just like walking down the street and you're like, oh, something feels weird, or like maybe I'm doing like my own exam or something, like, I mean, what are some things that we should be looking for?
There's a common misconception that if you don't have a family history of breast cancer, then you're in the clear. Only 5 to 10% of those who have had a genetic history actually get, you know, breast cancer. Now, of course, ovarian cancer can be added into that. You know, if you have somebody that's had ovarian cancer, you need to watch for breast cancer as well. However, there is no rhyme or reason as to why cancer chooses the people that it chooses.
That's true.
And so the only thing we can do is control what we can control, which is our lifestyle, our diet. Do we smoke? Do we use tobacco? Do we drink in excess? Those kinds of things. And prevention. So every month, you do want to do a monthly self-breast exam. Your OBGYN or your family physician can show you how to do that correctly. And you want to make sure that when you're feeling of the breast tissue goes all the way up to the collarbone and goes all the way underneath the arm. Yeah. And so it's not just the actual breast that fits into a bra. Men can get this. Young girls can get this. But some of the signs and symptoms are, do you notice that your breasts look different in the mirror? One's, you know, heavier or swollen. Does it have any redness to it? Is there a lump? Don't be fooled by it being a smooth lump or a lump that doesn't hurt. If it's a lump, it needs to be checked out. They could tell you it's just cysts. They could tell you that it's based on your diet, caffeine, but you want a medical professional to tell you that. I will say this. I do have a really dear friend that is battling breast cancer for the third time.
Wow.
And she found it because she developed a rash.
I've heard that.
Wow.
I've heard, like, weird things like that. You know, your body is so interesting. And, I mean, even though there's signs and symptoms that are, like, in research and we find it online, you're so unique in your body.
Yes.
And so you might, you just need to be super aware of yourself. You need to understand, like, how you react to things, have a good understanding, because you just never really know how it's going to affect you.
You don't. You know? And you need to listen to your body, because your body will always speak to you. It will whisper sometimes. But you have to know, this isn't normal for me. It's not normal to have discharge from this nipple, or it's not normal to have it hurt like this, or by, you know, something like that. But you got to know your body, and hopefully when you check it out, it's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's better to not stick our head in the sand.
Sure. Now, Nika, as a health educator, and of course, you know, with so much interaction with college students, do you get the impression that women of the college age take this as a priority in terms of wanting to be proactive with this? Because I sometimes in the work that I've done with my clients one-on-one that are students, there's this invincibility mentality or this, well, I'm in college, that's not going to affect me yet. Like, I'm at the peak of my health. I don't need to think about this right now. You know, is that a fair stereotype?
It's a very fair stereotype. And I think unless someone has watched a family member or a close friend go through it, it's not on their radar. I have students that have had family members or close friends that have gone through breast cancer treatment or sadly a death, and they are a little bit more aware of it. They'll reduce their intake of alcohol. They'll exercise more. They'll make sure they get their sleep. They'll take their vitamins. But if they don't have that personal you know, experience, it's not on the radar.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like anything, right? If it hasn't really personally affected you, then you just don't really, you know, feel, I mean, you feel like it's not going to, you know, and it's just until you've had a scare like that, or until you've had a family member. And I think that's why people get so, like, into helping organizations that they're, that makes them feel like they're close to it, you know, whether it's for breast cancer awareness, ovarian cancer, addiction, whatever. It has to be a personal experience, I think. How common is breast cancer?
Breast cancer is, I mean, other than
the one in eight.
Yes, it's the most commonly diagnosed cancer among American women. There's about 30% of newly diagnosed cancers in 2021 are going to be breast.
That's crazy.
Heart disease is the number one killer of women, but breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed. I think lung may be second.
That's crazy. So, I mean, if you're listening to the show and you're younger and you're like, that's not something I have to worry about, I mean, you may not have to worry about it, but that's why we talk about prevention. That's why we talk about making sure you're going to the doctor, getting things checked out. I mean, I'll be honest, when I was in college, I was like, why would I go to the doctor? I'm perfectly fine. And so you, for those of you listening, I think that you should start thinking more proactively now, just so you could catch something earlier and then you wouldn't have to worry about it in the future.
Exactly. And I know, you know, we're about to take a break, but, you know, on the flip side of that, we definitely want to talk more about what you can do, ways to stay healthy. But you guys, grab something to drink, get hydrated, do all the things. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. If you're just not joining our show, we're talking about boobs. So you have joined on a great, great segment.
Yes, absolutely. You know, boobs are great.
And, they are.
And we have to acknowledge that breast cancer exists. And,
it does.
You know, and Nika, I think you really, the facts that you shared, for lack of better words, I think that they're probably sobering to some of our listeners who have not actively thought about this before. You know, we certainly acknowledge that. I think for those of us that are in that traditional college age population, sometimes we do have this invincibility mentality. And because we care about you all so much, we want you to be proactive with this and know the facts. And, you know, I kind of want to start transitioning into some of the different myths and facts that are there related to breast cancer. So let's do that, ladies.
Let's do that. I will say, before we came on to this segment, we were cracking up during the break because Sheena and I have not gone through the mammogram process yet. I mean, you can when you start getting closer to 40, but, like, I don't think you have to till what age? When are you supposed to do it?
Between 40 and 45. It depends on your family history.
Yeah, and so of course, Nika was telling us about it, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's awful. And so now we're, like, freaking out. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do it. It just means that kind of like a...
You just got to know going in it's going to be bad.
Yeah, just have the expectation. Make sure you got some ice cream after.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to have your treat. You got to know what you're going to go buy yourself after. Some shoes, some Starbucks, something. Yeah.
Make a day of it.
I'm making all the lists.
Yes. But yeah, myths and facts about breast cancer. To be honest with you, I always kind of thought... if you are, like, smaller chested, I don't even know if this is, like, in our notes. I'm just kind of going rogue here. But if you are smaller size, I've always just in my head thought and heard that, like, you don't have as high of a risk. I don't even know if that's true or not, because to me it's like if you have more breast tissue, there's more of an opportunity, I guess. But
you have to remember there's dense breasts and then there's fatty breasts. So breast tissue and muscle and the fibers and fat.
Yeah.
So as we get older, that's why we do mammograms as we get older. Because when we're younger, we have the tight, perky chest.
Yeah.
And that's called dense breast.
Yeah.
And it's not so much fatty tissue. And so it's hard for a mammogram to see through that dense.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But now some of us continue to keep dense breasts as we get older. But when the breasts start to, the elasticity and the denseness and the muscle starts kind of breaking down and the fat comes in, and that's when we have the old lady boobs that we like to call it. That is, you know, easier to read a mammogram through.
Okay.
But they have ultrasounds that they can do with an ultrasound machine for your breasts. There's a lot of things they can do, but that's why we usually don't recommend it until you're around 40 to 45.
That's good to know.
Yes. Yeah. And along that same vein, you know, with both ability to do a mammogram and also the risk for breast cancer, let's talk about breast implants. Does that play a factor at all? Does that affect one's ability in terms of getting a mammogram at a certain point? Or risk
can you
factors
get
for,
yeah, like,
yeah, you can do cancer. Yeah, you can. There, you know, there's different research out there that says breast implants have nothing to do with causing a higher incidence rate of breast cancer. Then there's some research that says it does. I know you can get a mammogram with it. It may be a little bit harder to see, though, because you have this foreign object in your breast. And so I think your mammograms are probably going to be a little bit more extensive. Maybe a little bit more painful because they're trying to get all angles. They want to see. They want to see if there is something in there. They want to find it.
What did you say when we were in our break and about, like, let me just get you to stand in a doorway? And
so I always heard mammograms were painful. And I was like, oh, come on. And I want you to go get your mammogram. Please do not hear this as a, this hurts, don't do it.
Yeah.
But maybe take a Tylenol before you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember getting in the car and calling my mom and said, I might as well have slammed my breast in the door because that's what it felt like.
But you know what's kind of cool? I mean, this sounds, I always try to make a positive out of a negative. I mean, like, as women, we can all relate to it. It's kind of cool. Like, I mean, it's something that a woman does. I mean, you have to go to the doctor. You have to do all these things. And we can literally sit here and talk about and relate to it. And I just think it's kind of a way of, like, bringing us together in, like, a weird, strange way. But
then that also brings me to another myth that men can't get it. Men can't get it, and young men can get it.
Mm.
Because you have to think about, what is cancer? It's cells that go rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. Yeah. And cells are all over our body. And who's to say the cells in a man's breast tissue doesn't go rogue? Yeah. So men do get breast cancer.
And now, Nika, you've mentioned this some throughout the show, but let's like do a hyper-focus on terms of those ways to stay healthy and just prevention in general in terms of just lifestyle behaviors.
Yeah, so you want to exercise for sure. You know, we have all kinds of crazy hormones float through the body. Cortisol, norepinephrine, epinephrine, the fight or flight response. Think of how many times a day your fight or flight response is turned on from almost having a car wreck or, you know, someone stepping out in front of you when you're driving. I mean, just all day long. And so we have all this these hormones, and we have the estrogen and the progesterone, and we have caffeine in our bloodstream and excess sugar from a poor diet. We need to just exercise and burn that off and just help buffer the stress of that on our organs and our muscles. Keeping us active is probably the first thing that we can do. Just keeping ourselves active is the first thing and the easiest thing. Go for a walk. You don't have to go to a high intensity interval training class. You can just go for a walk. Second thing is watch, reduce, and or eliminate your alcohol intake. There's a ton of research that does show that drinking alcoholic beverages, beer, wine, liquor, increases a woman's risk of the hormone receptor positive breast cancer. So you've got breast cancer that is a little bit more receptive to hormones and some that's not. But if it is, the alcohol drives that, which is because of the sugar. And you don't want to smoke.
And you don't, I was about to say, that's what you don't want to do.
You don't want to smoke. And I'm going to turn this over to Sheena, but the research shows, I thought this was so interesting when I read it, that a bad diet, that 30 to 40% of all cancers can be contributed to a poor diet.
That's so true. You know, when we think about, you know, how cancer cells evolve and develop, you know, it really is just that fact of having a lot of free radicals that are floating around in our system, a lot of oxidation. There's actually a diet that is out there, and honestly, I hate to use the word diet, but an eating style that is promoted out there called the MIND diet, which is a combination of the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension. And it was originally created for prevention of Alzheimer's and dementia in terms of getting people to eat foods that have more anti-inflammatory properties. And so probably the biggest takeaway from that, if you're trying to think about foods that are contributing to oxidative stress in your diet, is fried food. Because when it goes through that high heat process in terms of how it's cooked, you're causing a lot of unstable cells in those foods. And so, of course, for me as a dietitian that does promote moderation, I would be remiss if I did not share that highly very evident research too, and letting people know what that science is. So it's not me saying like, hey, don't eat those chicken tenders. I love them too. But I think that we need to be aware of what this is doing to our body and then the types of foods that we want you to eat that have those anti-inflammatory properties, those antioxidants. So those fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
Because
so,
at the end of the day, it boosts your immune system. And that's what we need.
Well, it's the same thing with exercise. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, you're talking about all the hormones and stuff. You need stress release. That's what it comes down to. And I'm always going to say yoga, number one, is the healing. For me, hands down, if you can get yourself doing some yoga and bringing yourself from that chronic fight or flight, because a lot of people that have that chronic stress, they can never come off of that. And so their hormones constantly go. And so it sounds like to me, all we got to do is exercise a little, do some yoga, start eating healthier, start putting... And she, you can correct me, but to me, like, we like those fun things to eat, but it's like being aware of what it is and trying to put more, like, healthier things
in our Exactly. Yeah, and I think when we are going in this mindset of, I have an objective to add as much to my diet as possible that's going to be nourishing, instead of thinking of it as this deprivation diet where you're, you know, done listening to the show for the day and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to cut out this, this, and this. It's like, no, let's look at it at the angle of what can I add more, more, and more of. And by default, you're going to be reducing some of those other foods that are a little bit more concerning.
Exactly. So. And that leads me into watching your stress level, finding ways for self-care, and taking care of your sleep and resting. Resting and sleep. You know, I'm not saying be lazy, but when your body is tired or your body is sick, rest. Sleep. Again, I don't want, I would be remiss, too, to say if you do all these things, you'll never get breast cancer. I can't say that, but I can say you're doing your absolute best to fight against all the other elements if you do those things.
Yes. And at least you'll feel better if you're eating better and exercising and, hey, it all goes together.
And you'll be more in tune with your body.
Yep. Absolutely. Man, okay, what a great mic drop moment before our next break. But y'all, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on this lovely Sunday afternoon. And again, Sheena and I can't get it together with me having a week off. We were both talking at the same time, so we had to kind of stop and come back on. And, you know, y'all don't even really care.
Yeah, we're trying to be as professional as possible. So we probably should include all of our bloopers in our show, but
it would be pretty awesome, although I deleted them, I think. But
yeah,
anyway.
So, you know, we're not going to do that. But, so, you know, earlier I said that I wanted to ask you something. And, you know, I've been kind of thinking about that because I know you, and to an extent I'm this way too, where, you know, we don't like to get into anything that's too trendy. So the show that I am going to ask you about is quite trendy right now. Have you seen Squid Game?
I haven't started it yet.
Okay.
I've got two other K-dramas I'm watching.
Okay.
But
okay.
I am so impressed right now with Netflix and that it's like a trending show.
Yes.
Because K-dramas like kind of have started getting more popular, obviously because of more K-pop stuff, and like y'all know if you listen to the show, I like love that kind of stuff, and just South Korea and the food and like everything. But it's so cool because when I went on to Netflix to like start my drama, just because I like watch at night to like read and fall asleep.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute, this is trendy. It's like one or two, I think.
It is. And I think it's on trend to be the like most number one watched show like across all the countries that,
that's so
you know,
cool.
Netflix is in.
I have not watched it yet.
Well,
yeah.
My husband and I, we have always been in the vein of watching a lot of gritty Korean crime dramas and other things. We really appreciate the production value and the acting quality.
The acting quality is really good.
We really like that because it's like refreshing to see such a dynamic storyline and people aren't having to drop the F word like every other line.
There is a group of ladies that I worked with on The Reformer and they're all Korean. Of course, I was like in heaven because I was like, check my pronunciation. And they were like telling me if I was saying stuff right. And they're like, oh, you're very good. And I was like, thanks. And, and we talked about that and I was like, I love Korean dramas. And they're like, really? And I was like, and I'll tell you why. They're not filthy like American TV is, because I feel like a lot of things that we watch has to have like this shock factor, whether it's like drugs, alcohol, sex, violence. And in Korea, they don't have guns. The police officers have guns, but like if you have somebody that's gonna like rob you, they have a knife and it's like old school. It's just, I don't know, it's just kind of a different take on things. There are labels for like, you know, MA or PG or whatever that is. A show can be MA, but it is not nearly the level of MA, like the rating like our shows are. It's more clean and more wholesome. And I may sound old school, but I think we need a little bit more of that because, I mean, we're all going to hell. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that. But I mean, seriously, you know, like sometimes you just need some wholesome stuff in your life and something fun to watch that isn't just trash TV.
Well, I will say whenever you do watch Squid Game, there is some violence and, you know, and some bloodiness. So not wholesome there, but like really overall great production value. And it's, I think it's trending on the TikTok. You know, I don't have one of those, so I don't know, but that's what I hear.
TikTok.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you almost want to not watch it because everybody's watching it, but it is worth watching. So
that's good to know.
I just wanted to like say that to you.
And I will say this, I will watch it. And I personally love like the real cute bubblegum, like Korean K-dramas, like the little cute love stories, because they show it like shows real time in Korea and like where they live and like their way of life. And it's just, it's a nice refreshing, I guess, show to watch. But I am going to give Squid Game a shot. There was another one that I started watching, Hospital Playlist. It's got a bunch of actors that I really like. It's kind of like ER, but it has some funny to it. A lot of good ones. One of my favorite ones, I'll just throw this out there, if you're like, I want to get into K-dramas. One that is so cute, and mostly, like, I've talked to more females that like this, but it's called Oh My Ghost. And you should check it out on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's the cutest. It has one of my favorite little actresses in it. And it's a good little story.
Okay.
Cute story. So
that might be the show that I start watching.
I think you'd like it.
Breast pump late at night.
Yeah.
Speaking of breasts.
Yeah.
So just to kind of like put it all together. But y'all, okay, we've kind of gone all over the place. We will spare you any more randomness and just say, have a wonderful Sunday. Have a wonderful week. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.